If anyone is guilty of this, I believe I can count myself amongst them. That as we join in together to remember and to celebrate this Easter, that perhaps some of us have been guilty and would confess that we've allowed it to almost come and go without any mind, without thinking any deeper of what it truly means for us. I think it is a blessing that we could gather here in this place together to at least take this moment to be present before one another, to be present before the cross, to be present before God. So at this time, could we pray as we allow ourselves to breathe in the presence of God in this place? Lord, in this moment, in this time, we take a moment to breathe in your presence. We come to remind ourselves that we are indeed here, not only in body, but in mind and in spirit, O Lord. And as we come before you, we ask that you would remind us of what it is that you have done for each and every single one of us, that we are here as your children, as your sons and daughters. May we be present as, Spirit, you speak to us. As we are reminded of your grace, as we bask in your glory, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we remember Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only one who was without sin, he who was God, he who humbled himself to be born as a man, who was fully divine and fully human. We remember Jesus, who was betrayed into the hands of the Pharisees by a friend, a brother, a disciple, who was brought before the high priest, was three times denied by another one of his disciples, who was brought before Pilate, who was flogged, who was mocked, who was beaten and spat upon, who was sentenced to death by the demands of a screaming crowd, who carried a heavy wooden cross up upon a hill to which he was nailed, where he hung, where he suffered, and where he died. He who was pierced, who was taken down, and was buried. All because it was something that he willed. Some of you in your minds thought, it is because he loves us, it is because he loves me. And the Bible tells us so, does it not, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but in his resurrection shall have eternal life. But I wonder if we need to really think about what this means once again. Because Jesus did all of this, first and foremost, as an act of his will. It was something that the Father willed, that God willed. It was something that the Holy Spirit willed. It was something that Jesus himself willed in his great love, in this great triune love. It was something that Jesus chose to do. When you think of love, what do you think of? Growing up, I think my greatest dream, my greatest hope was to fall in love, to get married and have children, which puts me in trouble now because now I have no idea what to do with my life. But because of this deep desire, I was always this kind of a sentimental romantic. And my wife is probably thinking, what happened to that guy? But when you're a kid, you think of love. As you grow up, when you are young, you think of love as holding hands, as maybe sharing your snacks or your toys. You think of the gross things like kissing. You think of dating. You think of long conversations over the phone or nowadays through text messages. Watching the sunsets together, you think of perhaps pink hearts. You think of time slowing down. You think of these dreamy moments where your eyes lock with your significant other. And when you're high in love, you know you can do some crazy things. You say things, you promise things, you certainly buy things. But the love of God that is demonstrated to us, this, the greatest of loves, is not shown to us in Valentine's Day cards, flowers delivered to our door, or surprise gifts. It is not revealed to us in this feel-good, happy, bubbly, exciting moment, because many of us will also know what it feels like when you're not so high in the sky in love, when you don't feel like you used to, when it becomes hard and difficult to love another, when suddenly perhaps you don't feel in love anymore. Because it is in God's love, we are reminded that love is not so much about how it feels all the time. It is more about what is willed in our lives. What is chosen and what is promised, what is carried through, even in the midst of challenges of darkness, of terror, sickness, and even death. As we heard this story, the Passion story, which begins right after Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prays, "Lord, may your will be done." We have heard today that Jesus set off on this journey to the cross. This journey that is filled with the most traumatic, most tragic, unbearable, sad, terrible experiences and moments. The Bible tells us that this is love. That love is not rainbows and butterflies all the time. That the love of God is not sunshine and cotton candy or unicorns, but that it is true. That it is pure, it is real, and that it is powerful. For those of you who are still young enough to look forward to what it would be like to get married, I know I looked forward to it. The Bible tells us, to us husbands, to love their wives as Christ loved the church. In other words, to essentially to give up their lives and die for the sake of their wives. Let that sink in for a moment. But regardless of who you ask, this idea of dying is really, 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 really hard. It is painful. It is difficult. In a traditional marriage, the wedding vows reads, "To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part according to God's holy law, and this is my solemn vow." And as beautiful and romantic as it may seem in the moment, in real life, it is really, really hard. And it takes a person to die to themselves every day to do this well. But the point of this covenant, this promise that we make, is to recognize that even when things are good, and even when, especially when things are bad, it is for us to choose love. To choose love even when it is difficult. It is to love anyway, even when it is painful. We are meant to model our marriages, our relationships, our churches, our communities, our families, after Christ. Because it is Christ who showed us what it meant to love, even unto death. It is to do so willingly. He chose to be born in this world. He chose to live as a human being, though he is God. He chose to suffer and to die, which is essentially the most humiliating thing for a God to do. He who knew all that would happen to him, he who said with his lips, "It is for this I was born, it is for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth of God's will." Because this is what love really is. A covenantal love, this love that is not defined by butterflies in your stomach, but defined by a commitment, by a promise. A promise from God to be faithful, to be trustworthy, a promise we have seen him uphold throughout all of scriptures time and time again. And we know deep down that as much as we like it when love feels good, that this love, committed, covenantal, This love is hard work. It is raw. It can be painful. But the love of God modeled for us in Christ, it is true. It is real and it is eternal. To say that God, that the Spirit, that Jesus did all this because he loves you is true. Though it fills us with thanksgiving and praise, rightfully so, but perhaps it is a little less about how that makes us feel. And it is all about what God promised to do when he sent his only son to be murdered on the cross by our sin, by my sin, by your sin, by our death. And to do so willingly. This is something he chose to do, even though in the moments leading to his betrayal, we may recall that Jesus prayed to have this cup pass from him. Jesus fulfilled his will. He remained obedient to the will of the triune God when he said, "Your will be done," to the very end, until he could say, "It is finished." It was part of God's great plan of salvation that was thought up and designed in eternity. Today, we remember that Christ has died and Christ was buried. And though for many of us, we know that we will marvel at the greatest twist ending the universe has ever known on Sunday morning, may the sight of our Lord and Savior on the cross bring us to our knees once again in repentance. And may we stand in awe of Christ who hung on the cross for you and for I. Before his death on the cross, Jesus says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this they will know you are my disciples." When Jesus said these words, these disciples, they might have thought that they were up to the task. Perhaps they thought they would be able to do it, to love others as Jesus had loved them. Because to them, Jesus had welcomed others. He sat with those in the margins. He became a friend to all. He fed the hungry. He cared for the lonely. He brought healing to the sick. And these things, perhaps for the disciples, were within their fathomable grasp. "I think maybe I could do that." But then Jesus does something that blows their expectations and their thoughts out of the water, and he climbs a hill and hangs on a cross and dies to teach us that the cost of love is the giving of oneself for the other. For did he not also say that there is no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for a friend? We gather today as a people who recognize our own need for this love. We gather as a people who know that when Christ hung on the cross for the hurting, for the sick, for the broken, for the victim and abused, for the angry, for the grieving, for the lonely, for the sinner, and for the depraved, he hung on the cross for us. We gather as a people who know that it has been us who has crucified him. It is us who have denied him more than 3 times. It is us who turn our backs and betray him for far, far less than 30 pieces of silver. But we also gather as a people who know and who are called to believe that Christ's death on the cross was to put to death a death that we were never meant to die, to save us, and to give us life, to free us, to redeem us, that we may know that God sent his Son to die, so that we may know that the Father loves us as he loved his Son. So that we may know that it is God's grace that has set us free. Free into life. Today, as we focus on the work of the cross, and look beyond it to the coming resurrection. May we remember that Christ chose to die on that cross, so that we may not only know his love for us, but to know that the call of Christ is not only to receive this love in its fullness, which draws us to thanksgiving and repentance, which takes away our sin as far as the east is from the west, but to embody it with compassion and live it every day, every moment of our lives. This is not a suggestion. This was not a plea. This is the new command that Jesus gave to us, his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. To love is to choose. To love is to do. Love is action. Love is promise. Love is the gospel. As we look to the cross today, will we then choose to love and give of our very selves as Christ chose to love those as depraved as you and I? Amen.